Welcome in, sleepers, and we are back on beat today with very special guest Antoine Staley. He is a beat writer for the Carolina Panthers, and obviously we know there's been a lot of change over there in Carolina, so very happy to have you on today, Antoine. Thanks for coming on. You know, introduce yourself, tell the good people out there where they can find you on social media.
It's just simple. My name, Antoine Staley. Find me on Twitter. That's probably the best way to get located with the stuff that I do.
You know, thanks again for coming on. And, you know, just kind of real quick, you know, sum it up. I mean, what was kind of your path to becoming a beat writer? What put you in that direction?
Well, it's something I always wanted to do. So I went to school for it. Just started writing. I started doing writing when I was in college, but I didn't do sports necessarily right away. So I just thought I'd do like fun stories around the campus and things of that nature. But yeah, I just wanted to learn how to write and build structure that way. And then from there, grew up in North Carolina originally. Then I moved down to South Florida and ended up covering the Dolphins for a while, for 6-7 years, for various outlets there. And then started doing the Panthers last year. So in a nutshell, yeah, I've done just about every kind of sport you can think of, but. Yeah, I've moved around a lot and done a lot of different things. But, yeah, this is something I definitely wanted to do.
Now, growing up in the Carolinas, I would imagine the Panthers have always been your favorite team and possibly the team you've always wanted to cover. Or is that
No. I started watching football before the Panthers got there. So, yeah, I was like 10 or 11 when they came into existence. So I'd already started watching football by that point. So, I mean, I like for them to do well, but they wasn't necessarily my primary team.
Right. So one important thing that I want to ask you, I've been asking all the beat writers that I've been bringing on to the show is, you know, with how this year has been with COVID and all that crap, I mean, how much more difficult has it been for you this season? And how have you kind of been navigating through that? And how different has your approach been to everything?
Well, it's different, obviously, when you're covering the team. Normally, you go down to practice and talk with players in the locker room and the coach, and you do everything in person. Now with COVID-19, everything's been virtual, doing Zoom press conferences. Everything's just been remote, basically. So, yeah, that's been definitely a big change there. You don't get to interact with the person face-to-face. I mean, they can see a face depending on the platform that they may be using or whatever the case may be, but it's still not as personable as just talking to somebody face-to-face. So, I mean, that's been a challenge, but you get around it and, you know, you do the best that you can. So that's kind of been the approach there. It'll be interesting to see how things go on Sunday. I'm supposed to cover the game there at the stadium. We obviously things will be as far as virtual press conferences the same there, but yeah, it's definitely going to be a change not seeing fans out there in the stands, and it's just going to be football players playing in an empty stadium. So that's definitely going to be a big change from the normal.
So are they going to – there's been a couple of teams that said that they're going to operate a certain percentage and all that, and obviously Carolina's not one of them, with you saying that there's going to be no fans in the stands. But are they going to do anything kind of like they're doing in Major League Baseball to where they'll put that sound in the background over the system there at the stadium?
Yeah, they'll definitely use some crowd noise, some feedback there. I know they had a little bit of a scrimmage there on Friday, actually, and they did kind of game day preparations of what it would be like playing in an empty stadium where they just kind of pipe in the noise there. So, yeah, they'll definitely do a little bit of that. Obviously, it's not the same, especially with the players, because they usually get their energy from the fans. And that could be hard when you don't see any fans in the stands. So it's definitely a trend. It's going to be a transition for all the players there. They got to find a way to kind of generate their own energy.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting year. I mean, I'm glad week one's kicking off on time. I honestly, for a little while, I wasn't too certain about that, but it's good to kind of go in this direction, and hopefully it continues to move forward in this direction, you know, without having, you know, issues with players, you know, contracting the virus and getting really sick or whatever. I mean, we're going to be going into flu season and all that crap too, right? So hopefully everything just kind of continues moving forward, I guess. But looking at the team, you know, we have the overhaul over there. I mean, you have basically a whole new coaching staff. Matt Rhule from Baylor, Phil Snow came over from there as well. Joe Brady comes over from LSU. How has the culture been? I mean, obviously Ron Rivera was there for a long time. You know, how different has everything been from what you've even been able to cover?
Well, obviously, whenever you change coaches, I mean, especially having the guy that was there for 9 years, it's definitely going to be a little bit of transition. You have somebody that done things a certain way. So yeah, you had Matt Rhule there. Players seem to like him. They like to run through a brick wall for him, to be honest with you. So everything going so far has been nothing but good things. But yeah, it's just been a bit transition there. When you talk about just the way they do things there, Matt Rhule has been more, been very energetic through practices and things of that nature. So yeah, it's, definitely been a big change there.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I mean, I just, last week did the show with a beat writer for the Giants, and they have the same situation going on over there. Just when you have teams that have that kind of level of change, and obviously the culture's different, it's just really interesting to see how it all plays out to begin with.
Yeah.
Just the way that this season has been obviously makes it a little bit more difficult.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, obviously Christian McCaffrey, he's you know, CMC. and I'm sure a lot of people out there are expecting a repeat performance from him. And, you know, I could imagine how involved he's going to be in Matt Rhule's offense. And obviously they just cut Reggie Bonifant and Mike Davis. He's got that number two role there. And, you know, with McCaffrey being as involved as he is in that office, have you been seeing anything to where, let's just say, you know, with Mike Davis obviously working his way up the depth chart, is there anything that they're working him into to try and lessen some of the load for McCaffrey, or are they still going 100 miles an hour with him?
Well, I don't imagine they're going to – I know Matt Rhule briefly talked about this. I mean, Chris McCaffrey is going to get his carries. That's just kind of how it is. I don't know if he's going to be on the field 94% of the time like he was last year, but I definitely think you'll see a lot of him this upcoming year. It may be a little different, but yeah, I mean, he's the best player, so it'd be crazy not to get your best player to football on a consistent basis. So I imagine they're still going to do that. As far as Mike Davis, yeah, they talked about how well he's done in camp, and they really like him, and obviously he's a veteran there, but I don't think you're going to see a ton of him, to be honest. It may be a spell situation, but yeah, Christian's the guy, and I don't imagine that's necessarily going to change this upcoming year. So you may see him, Mike Davis, a little bit more. Instead of using Christian 94% of the time, you may use him 87%, 88% of the time, but yeah, still really, it always revolves around Christian McCaffrey and his skill set and what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday when I'd seen that Bonifant was cut and, you know, where Mike Davis is slotted. And you think about Mike Davis's career. He's had a very, you know, serviceable career for a number two running back. And I'm just like thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I could actually see a world sometimes where they just run a four wide set and actually run McCaffrey out of the slot with Mike Davis as your single back, you know, because Teddy Bridgewater, he's a game manager. You know, he always has been. And I could just see situations like that to, you know, what do? You have, you know, you're obviously, you'd have McCaffrey out there. Then you'd have DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, you know, Curtis Samuel's still there. You could go either way with it. You know, you're immediately thinking pass in a situation like that and run a dive with Mike Davis. I don't know. There's ways that they can go. But speaking of Teddy Bridgewater, you know, obviously he's the guy. With this style of offense, how has he been fitting in? I mean, it seems like he's been looking pretty well in general, and obviously he's taken that starting role, but you know, how has he really been looking as the starter there? And also, in the event that, you know, God forbid something happens to Teddy Bridgewater, you know, what are you seeing out of Will Greer being the number two quarterback there?
Well, I mean, it's the same offense that Teddy ran. It's New Orleans, pretty much. Joe Brady was the offensive assistant there in New Orleans prior to taking the role in LSU, where he's the kind of the offensive coach there, not necessarily coordinator, but yeah, quality control coach or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, him and Joe Brady know each other. That's part of the reason why they decided they wanted to go with Teddy Bridgewater. And Bridgewater really became a leader for the Panthers this year, just inviting players out, during the COVID-19 pandemic when they couldn't get to the facility and working on the offense and just addressing a lot of concerns that other players had about not knowing the offense going into training camp. So, yeah, he's definitely been a leader. He's been looking good. I definitely think that I think he's poised for a big season. A lot of people, I know some people call him a game manager, but I still think he's really had a lot of the opportunities to be the guy really since he suffered that horrendous injury in Minnesota.
Oh, it's terrible too.
Go to New Orleans, went to the Jets first and then get traded to New Orleans. And I definitely think at 27 years old, he still has an opportunity to be a long-term starter solution for the Panthers there. And I really expect them to throw close to about 30 touchdowns this year. I think the offense is going to be really good. It's just the Panthers' defense may be a big question, but yeah, their offense is going to be really good. Of course, with Bridgewater, McCaffrey, you got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and Joe Brady's definitely going to find a way to use all of those guys in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, you know, and you bring up Bridgewater's age, and you know, you talk about that knee injury, and you really kind of look at it, it's almost parallel to Jimmy Garoppolo over there in San Francisco, realistically. I mean, their paths went a little bit different, but yeah, he's always seemed like a game manager, and I know the guy had a lot of upside. I really liked him coming out of college. I liked the situation in Minnesota, so hopefully he can recapture all that, especially, you know, seeing what we saw from him, to your point, over in New Orleans in that system and how similar they're going to be. Now, with the wide receivers, obviously, DJ Moore, he's the main guy there. And I'm really interested to see how this is going to work with Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson. I mean, Robbie Anderson, it seems like he's going to be in as more of a field stretcher. And I know he's a fairly decent route runner as well. Curtis Samuel was also kind of schemed as like a field stretcher before, and he's a guy that you kind of want to get the ball in space and let him go to work and utilize that speed, and more of a gadget guy at times. And then you have McCaffrey. So just with all of this talent that you were talking about for Bridgewater, you know, how have you been seeing these guys used at that offense in these practices?
Well, I can't talk about schematics really because they limit to what we're able to talk about.
But right, right.
What I will say is, yeah, I mean, they're using a lot of players in a lot of different ways. They, Joe Brady and also Matt Rule kind of preached versatility. So their whole thing is just using players in a lot of different ways that maybe they're not used before. And it's a good thing with Curtis because he played, not only did he play with some wide receiver, I had experience there, but he also played running back in college too, as well at Ohio State. So I definitely think you'll see some instances where you have him line up in the backfield, maybe in a wildcat situation. Yeah, you'll along with having him as a slide or having him outside. So I'm pretty sure that they'll use him in a multitude of a lot of different ways there. Unlike they, well, they kind of did that in the past a little bit, but definitely under Brady, they'll use him in a lot of different ways. And yeah, I definitely think their whole thinking is to have speed. They definitely have that wide receiver core with along with Anderson and also DJ Moore, who I think is really an emerging star and really had a really good year last year. Very underrated wide out.
Let me ask this then, because this is another guy that has been kind of an intriguing prospect. How's Ian Thomas been filtering into all this? I mean, there's obviously a lot of weapons there, and Greg Olsen has also moved on after he's spent a lot of years there. I mean, how involved has Ian Thomas been?
Well, he's been hurt right now. He's suffering a little toe injury there. So he's a little questionable whether he'll play against the Raiders there. But, yeah, I mean, have him and Chris Manhurst are really the guys that they're going to be counting on to replace Greg Olsen, who's now in Seattle. Thomas is really was going to be the starter. Now he's hurt. So we'll have to see how long he's out. I don't necessarily know. We've asked Matt Rule that. He said it's day-to-day, but you know, Ian Thomas is still suffering a little injury. So we'll see how it all goes, though. But, yeah, all the accounts is, yeah, he's definitely going to be given every opportunity this year to see if he can be the guy. And if not, then I'm sure they'll address that tight end position in the offseason.
All right. Now, shifting to the defensive side of the ball, I mean, obviously another name that was a staple in that defense. Luke Kuechly, and you know, he's now moved on, and that was a big hole to fill there. Now this kind of comes into a situation with Shaq Thompson. I mean, has he kind of taken over as, you know, the captain of the defense, the quarterback of the defense?
Well, so here Whitehead is going to be the middle linebacker. Shaq will play on the outside. For all accounts, Whitehead, he get the plays in. He'll be kind of that leader and middle linebacker. Shaq has, to answer your question about Shaq, yeah, he has taken a little bit more of a leadership role there. He's still a young guy, but obviously there's somebody they really think highly of. That's why they gave him a contract extension there.
Right.
So, yeah, they especially with a team that has so much turnover there, they're definitely going to be relying on Shaq, and they really think the world of him and hope he can have a big year for him. But, yeah, to hear Whitehead is somebody that Matt Rhule has a lot of history with, ended up coaching him at Temple. Of course, Whitehead moved around there, played with the Raiders last year. So they hoping his veteran leadership can help. I mean, nobody's going to replace Luke Kuechly, but they hope that he can kind of do his best he can for that situation at middle linebacker.
Yeah, Whitehead's been, he's been pretty good. I mean, I know, you know, talking about how he broke out, which he did here in Detroit, and, you know, with what he's moved around, he's never been terrible. He's always been a solid inside linebacker for the most part. And, you know, that's my thing with Shaq Thompson, because he did get that, you know, extension and whatnot, and just where he's at with the team. That's why I was wondering if he just kind of stepped into that role that he was going to lead that defense. Now, on either side of the ball, who is somebody that wouldn't really stand out to anybody as far as name wise or anything that you're looking at that could make a huge impact on this team this year?
I have a few. I definitely have Yotos Matos for Penn State, the rookie second round pick there. Mm-hmm. I think defensive end position really for the Panthers is one of their strong suits, but yeah, I definitely think he could factor in as well. In a rotation situation, they have a really good situation where they have Brian Burns, who was the rush in linebacker in the 3-4 situation last year, but probably going to play more 4-3 now, which is his position at college at Florida State. So end up having 7.5 sacks there. But yeah, Gross Matos, I definitely think could have a really big year. Very underrated there. I know a lot of people talk about Derrick Brown, but yeah, I definitely look at him as somebody that could sneak under the radar. Him and Jeremy Chinn, another pick for the Panthers there. Somebody they're going to use in a lot of different ways as a linebacker, also as a safety, also in big nickel packages there at the fifth cornerback. So, yeah, they'll definitely utilize him in a lot of different ways. His uncle is Steve Atwater. So if he had bloodlines there, definitely going to be in good shape. So, yeah, those would be, at least on the defensive side, those would be two games I would look at. Offensively, I would probably say Chris Manhurst, especially considering Ian Thomas is out right now. He's been working on his hands. He's a really good blocker out in space as far as home run plays, but they've really been working on his hands. Him and Teddy Bridgewater have been doing a lot of work, and they hope to get him more involved in the offense there. So those would be the three names that I would look at as far as guys that maybe under the radar.
That position is for the most part wide open. I mean, obviously Ian Thomas would have the first crack, but yeah, I really want to see how that situation plays out there. And man, I miss the Steve Atwater days. That guy is one of the best in the games. That's a good bloodline to be involved with.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if he can be anything close to his uncle, yeah, man, that's definitely going to be, he's going to be a good shape.
Oh, for sure. 100%, man. Well, before we close this out here, Antoine, one thing I like to do with everybody that comes on here is I like to open the floor and, you know, let people know where they can find you on social media, talk about any of the content you have going on, things that you're following, doing, whatever. It doesn't matter, man. Floor's open. Plug yourself away.
You can follow me. I write for the Riot Report, this independent website covering the Panthers. Also, follow me at Twitter, Antoine Staley, and really also do some college football work for Athlon Sports. So yeah, those are the places you can find me. I talk about the Panthers a lot, obviously, because that's the team I cover, but I'm pretty locked in for the NFL. So really, that's the best place to find me. So just, you know, if you want to like what I had to say, just follow me there.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling you, the guy's active on there, man. He's definitely given as much up-to-date information that you can probably get out there. So again, thank you for coming on. I know, time's short. You're busy as can be right now leading into week one. So definitely appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Anytime, man. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Well, we'll definitely get you back on, especially if we get a couple weeks under our belt here to see what's going on more so over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, everybody, that's Antoine Staley. Now, don't forget about our jersey giveaway that we have going on. It's your choice between a Chris Godwin or Kenny Galladay signed jersey. And to enter that, go visit our Patreon and sign up for any of the tiers that are there and get involved with the forum that's going on. We're looking at the next 100 to be entered, and the winner will be randomly drawn. To get involved, go to go visit our Patreon at patreon.com/sleeperwire, or you can go to sleeperwire.com/donate, and the Patreon icon's there. That'll take you directly to that point. Also, we're working with Thrive Fantasy this season. You can go place player prop bets there. Just download the app. It's Daily Fantasy Sports apps for player props. They've eliminated the need to do countless hours of research, and they just bring everything to you. They've awarded over $1.4 million in prizes since launching in 2018, you know, and they have $50,000 in guaranteed prizes for NFL Week 1. So do that. Use promo code SLEEPERS, all caps. That's SLEEPERS. And when you sign up today, you will receive an instant $20 bonus from Thrive on your first deposit of $20 or more. Also, in doing so, if you take a screenshot using that promo code, again, SLEEPERS, and email it to sleeperwire@gmail.com, you will automatically get entered into the SLEEPERWIRE Listener Leagues for next year. So keep that in mind when you're doing that. So again, everybody stay safe out there. Antoine, thanks again for coming on. Stay safe for you're there going into Week 1. I know things are going to be different. So until the next time you hear my voice, y'all be easy.